Hello, my name's Dr. Sandra Cabot. I've been a medical doctor for over 40 years and I'm a great believer in nutritional medicine. And I'm joined today by academic researcher, author and naturopath Margaret Jasinska.
Hi Dr. Cabot, I'm really excited to speak with you today on this topic.
Yeah, about how to strengthen your immune system. Very, very important subject, particularly in this day and age. Here we are on the 1st of April, 2020, so happy April Fool's Day to you today, but this is no time to remain foolish, that's for sure. So we want to increase your wisdom with this potentially life-saving information. And believe me, nutritional medicine is very, very powerful and it has a lot of research. There's hundreds of studies and unfortunately it doesn't make the headlines. It really should. It should be making the headlines. But anyway, we're here to educate you. So we're going to talk about, first of all, very important thing not to be nutrient deficient, because your immune system depends on specific nutrients to be able to function correctly.
Yes, exactly. And there's a general public perception that just eat good food and your food will give you all the nutrients you need. And unless you're pregnant or some other condition where your body requires extra nutrients, then you don't need to take any supplements and you will just wee them out. Well, and we see patients who have health problems and the majority of them eat quite well most of the time. You know, you wouldn't really go and see a doctor, a holistic doctor or a naturopath if you just lived on junk food. We see people who are trying to do the right things and they are trying to eat well and do so most of the time. Yet they have health struggles and when we test them, we discover nutrient deficiencies. So the average person is nutrient deficient, maybe because the soil is depleted and therefore food isn't as good a source in nutrients as it once was. Maybe because people are stressed, they've got digestive problems, they're not absorbing as well. And also, you know, if you have a health condition and you have high levels of inflammation in your body, you're using nutrients at a faster rate. So your body requires more just to be normal.
We do a lot of testing on patients in our clinic and we find they're deficient. Not everyone, but at least 50%. And these are people who are eating a so-called normal Western diet and they get a shock. They really do. And we find that they have nutrient deficiencies such as vitamin D. Often they're very low in that. They may be low in zinc. They may be low in iodine. They may be low in vitamin C.
Iron.
Really iron, very common. Yeah, iron deficiency will greatly weaken your immune system. So it's very, very important to overcome these nutrient deficiencies or your immune system will remain weak. So you can have these tests, you can have blood tests and urine tests, and that will determine whether you have adequate vitamin D, zinc, vitamin C, B12, very important for the immune system, iron. All these things can be easily tested for. When it comes to iodine, we do a urine test, and that will show very accurately whether you need to take an iodine supplement. So iodine is very, very important for immune competence to help your body fight infections. Indeed, iodine has a natural antibiotic properties.
That's right. People think of iodine topically or like as a mouthwash or a gargle, but also how much iodine you have in your body, that also has natural infection fighting properties.
Correct. It does. And so where you can get iodine, where you can use kelp, and you can use it to make snacks. We have a recipe on our website, cabothealth.com.au, that you can make these delicious snacks high in iodine with the kelp powder. You can also add kelp powder to soups. That will boost your iodine, and you can also take a supplement. But it's interesting to have your iodine checked. It's not a particularly expensive test, and it's very worthwhile because iodine not only has natural antibiotic properties, it also has anti-cancer properties.
Yes, with a particular affinity for breasts and ovaries.
Yes, and prostate. And now let's talk about vitamin C. We really need to cover that. because it's very, very important when it comes to fighting infections. And indeed, the pioneer of vitamin C research was Professor Linus Pauling, and he proved that vitamin C improves outcomes in infections. And so, Margaret, we're going to talk about that. Vitamin C helps you to fight infections in many different ways. Indeed, it inhibits an enzyme which is needed for viral replication. It increases the killing power of immune cells. It increases the body's production of immune-fighting chemicals such as interferon and nitric oxide. It increases the immune cell production of antibodies that inactivate viruses. And it reduces the inflammatory response in the host tissues. And that's very important because people can die from the inflammatory response, not just the infection.
Exactly. The response that your immune system creates to the infection can end up killing you.
Yeah, because you'll get so much inflammation in your lungs, you'll get an outpouring of fluid, yes, and you'll drown in your own secretions.
Yeah.
And this is how these nasty respiratory viruses such as COVID-19 will kill you. So vitamin C, very important. So you can get it in your diet.
Yes, so everyone knows that vitamin C is found in fruit. It's also found in vegetables, in almost every vegetable. Vitamin C is heat sensitive, and so if the fruit or vegetables are cooked, then it does start to break down, but it's not lost entirely. So if you have a high intake of vegetables, then even if they are lightly cooked, you should still get enough. The majority of animals on the planet can make their own vitamin C. So you don't need to give your dog or cat vitamin C. They can make it themselves. But humans and primates, a long time ago, we lost the ability to be able to make vitamin C. But the other animals that can make vitamin C, they make it out of glucose. Vitamin C and glucose are very, very structurally similar. And in fact, into our body, vitamin C and glucose use the same transport molecule to enter our cells. So if you have a lot of glucose floating around in your bloodstream, it will compete with vitamin C, and the vitamin C will not be able to enter the cells of your body where it has its benefits. And so people with diabetes have a high amount of sugar in their blood. And in fact, there was some Australian research that showed that diabetics are very, very susceptible to scurvy, even if they have enough vitamin C intake. So they can be eating the fruit and vegetables, but it's not actually being utilized well in their body because of their high glucose level. And I find it funny that some people would drink orange juice thinking that they're getting some vitamin C. Well, you're getting an enormous amount of glucose in that orange juice, which is inhibiting your ability to use the vitamin C. So, you know, if you have diabetes, then you have a higher requirement for vitamin C, and try and get your diabetes under control as well as you can. And also, you know, try and get your vitamin C from vegetables more so than from fruits. So the higher your carbohydrate intake is, the higher your requirement for vitamin C is.
And don't forget lemons. You know, lemons are a fantastic source of vitamin C, so are grapefruits, and they're lower in sugar.
Exactly, yes.
I have
limes.
Two lemons every
limes.
Day.
My lime's almost ready on my tree,
yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, lemons and limes and grapefruits, you know, they're a superfood.
Mm-hmm.
You need that vitamin C. It's cleansing and it's infection fighting. And the number of people who are vitamin C deficient, it may not be a severe deficiency, it's subclinical.
That's right. You're not going to likely get full-on scurvy symptoms, but bleeding gums. How many people have a problem with bleeding gums?
Yeah, and slow healing wounds. And also you will wrinkle more rapidly if you don't have enough vitamin C.
Yep,
it
is
needed. You need it for collagen.
That's right, yep.
So if you are vitamin C deficient, you'll have more frequent and severe infections of many types. You'll also have more allergies. Now, young children and those aged over 65 are more prone to vitamin C deficiency. You know, they're picky eaters, They often don't eat correctly. So it's good to take a supplement. It really is, just as an insurance policy. We know that vitamin C can reduce mortality rates from infections in children. And really, all children should be boosted with vitamin C before vaccinations. Very, very important. So there you go, good old vitamin C. Now let's talk about zinc. You know, a lot of people are deficient in zinc, and that's easily measured with a blood test.
Yes, I see a lot of zinc blood test results. A lot of my patients come in and it has already been tested by their regular doctor. And in particular, females are more likely to be zinc deficient, and younger females. Zinc is very, very important for your immune system to be able to work well, and it does help you fight infections, it helps with wound healing, it helps to activate vitamin A in your body. So zinc and vitamin A work well together to keep your immune system strong and to keep your mucous membranes strong and help you fight infections. So mucous membranes like your gut lining, the lining of your nose and sinuses and throat and lungs. So zinc is very important for their health and infection fighting properties. And zinc is mostly found in animal foods such as seafood, poultry, red meat, eggs. There is zinc in plant foods such as legumes, lentils, grains, nuts and seeds, but it's not very bioavailable at all. So the types of fiber in those plant foods really bind up the zinc and can inhibit you from absorbing the zinc. And in fact, they even did studies where, so oysters are very, very high in zinc, and they gave oysters on their own, but they also gave oysters to people along with black beans or along with corn tortillas. And the beans and the corn almost completely inhibited ability to absorb zinc. Mm. So it's no wonder that a lot of people aren't getting enough zinc, because many young people, particularly females, don't eat a lot of animal foods, and or they eat plant foods which bind up the zinc.
We can take a supplement if you need to. If you do eat oysters, make sure you cook them well, because you can get nasty infections. Don't eat raw oysters.
Yes, I agree. And look, oysters don't have a spinal cord. They don't feel pain. They don't have nerves. So some vegans do eat oysters.
Oh, interesting. There you go. Margaret is a wealth of information. As I told you, she's an oracle. Yes. So zinc, it gives you protection of cell membranes. It also strengthens the cement-like substances that seals capillaries, so it can reduce death rates from severe pneumonia, and that's how COVID will kill you. So don't be zinc deficient. It reduces mucus production and other respiratory secretions, and it also stimulates the production of interferon. So all those things are going to help you to survive. You know, we're talking about survival. We're talking about the difference between getting a mild infection or a severe infection. So that zinc, and you can have it measured in a blood test, or you can just take a supplement and you can eat foods high in zinc.
Yes, if you know you don't eat a lot of animal foods, it's really wise to take a zinc supplement, particularly now and really, I'd say, all year, especially winter, to help prevent infections.
Now let's get on to another immune-strengthening nutrient, namely vitamin D. And this is something we often test in our patients, and we are often surprised by just how deficient people are.
Yes, and the recommended daily intake of vitamin D and the level that's typically found in a lot of multivitamins is nowhere near enough. So in theory, that's enough vitamin D, but in practice, when you measure people, they're still deficient.
That's right, and you know, the normal range, it varies a lot between laboratories, and it's a very wide range. It doesn't really tell people optimal level. And a lot of doctors will say to patients, well, you're in the normal range, so don't worry about it. And so the patient will say, oh, okay. And I'll ask them, well, what was your level? And they haven't got a clue.
That's right. So we don't want you to just survive. We want you to thrive.
Yes. And so in Australia, the range goes from 55 nanomoles per litre to 200 or even 300 in some laboratories nanopoles per litre. So that's ridiculous, you know, 55 to 300. And so if the patient comes up at 65, they're told, don't worry, you've got plenty of vitamin D, so you can stop taking your supplement. And then they become deficient again. It's something you need to stay on, or you need to get plenty of sunshine. And remember that if you're using sunscreen, your body can't make vitamin D. Very, very important to have enough vitamin D in your body. And so vitamin D plays a major role in regulating the immune system. It's really a hormone, not a vitamin. But they've done a lot of studies and they've found that people who are given vitamin D have less morbidity from influenza. Very important. So have your vitamin D level checked, particularly if you don't go outdoors very much or if you have a weak immune system. And make sure you're not just hanging in the bottom of the normal range. I always say to people, well, ideally we want your level to be about 100 nanomoles per litre.
Yes, and try to go outside for some sunshine. Safely, of course. Don't ever get burnt. And it's a good idea to wear a hat to cover your head and face. But try and get your arms and legs into the sunshine when you can. And we make vitamin D from UVB rays, which are out there at midday. So it's the midday sunshine that you can make vitamin D from most efficiently. But of course, depending on where you live, it's just not possible at some times of the year.
Yeah. And in America, the range is 30 to 80 nanograms per mil. So once again, you don't want to be 35 or 40 and be told that you're normal. You want to be around 60, ideally. Particularly in this day and age with all these new novel viruses. So we've covered zinc, we've covered iodine, we've covered vitamin D, and we've covered vitamin C.
Yep.
But we're going to discover some more important immune strengthening minerals in our next podcast that you really must know about. I mean, these are life-saving tips to keep your immune system stronger. And remember, your immune system is your greatest health asset. So thanks for listening, and bye for now.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.